house. I want to invite everybody to turn in your Bibles to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. We want to welcome those that are here in the sanctuary. Let's give the Lord a hand praise for everybody here in the sanctuary. We want to welcome those that are watching online. Give it up for those watching online. We welcome you. Let's turn up the monitors a little bit on the platform. John chapter 14. As you're turning to John chapter 14, verse 15, I want to remind you that October 4th and 5th is our Fresh Hope Revival. It is going to be our 6th year anniversary as a church, and we are celebrating big time. We are calling in some of the most powerful preachers in Southern California to minister to us. We're going to worship the Lord, thank the Lord. It's on a Thursday and a Friday. It's going to be right here in the sanctuary. It's going to be 7 p.m. I want to encourage you to come out. We have on Thursday night Pastor Obed Martinez, who's one of the most influential young pastors in Southern California. He is the Lord has used him to build one of the most impactful churches in Southern California. He's going to be with us that night. And then on Friday, someone say Friday, we are going old school, and we're renting a tent. We're going to put it out in the parking lot at our Fresh Hope Park, and we're going to do an old school tent Holy Ghost revival where we're going to believe for healing, deliverance, salvation. So if you know anybody who needs help, bring them that night. We are calling in one of the big guns in the kingdom of God. Apostle Ron Hill, he leads one of the biggest churches in our area, Love and Unity Church. This man of God, he's probably about 75 years old, filled with the Holy Spirit. He's going to be laying hands on people, praying for people for deliverance, and he is a Holy Ghost preacher. So I want you to just invite everybody out that Thursday and Friday. We're going to have flyers next week, but you'll see it on social media as well. Let's get ready. Let's pray. Let's believe for some miracles. Anybody need a miracle in the house? All right, John chapter 14. We're going to turn to several scriptures. When we turn read John 14, we're going to turn to John 15, and then we're going to turn to John 16. But we're going to start off in John 14, verse 15. When everybody's there, say amen. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. Now skip over to John chapter 15, verse 26. 15, verse 26. But when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me, and you also will bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning. Now skip to John 16, verse 5. Chapter 16, verse 5. This is going to conclude our scripture reading. This is what it says. But now I go away to him who sent me, and none of you ask me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage. Someone say advantage. It is your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment, of sin, because they do not believe in me, of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and you see me no more, of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. Verse 12, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you, someone say guide, He will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. He will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for this morning. And Lord, we look to your word for help and understanding, Father God. Encourage us through your word in Jesus' name. Everyone says, amen. Amen. So my brothers and sisters, last Sunday, we started a new series entitled Kingdom Power. Someone say Kingdom Power. We are discovering the Holy Spirit in our life. This is a very, very important lesson that we're going over in the month of September, and we're learning a biblical balanced view of the role and work of the Holy Spirit. That's what we're gaining in the month of September, a balanced biblical view of the role and person of the Holy Spirit. So important that we get a balanced biblical view, because a lot of people, they err on one or two sides. Either they minimize the Holy Spirit, they don't talk enough about the Holy Spirit, or they go to the other side where they exaggerate things of the Holy Spirit. But as the people of God, we want to try to maintain this balanced biblical view of the Holy Spirit as what Jesus taught us in the scripture. So in the month of September, we're learning who he is, what he does, and what he brings. Who he is, what he does, and what he brings. And we are learning that in the kingdom of God, the source, write that down, the source of our power and transformation is the Holy Spirit. If you're part of the kingdom of God, if you're a believer, if you're a citizen of the kingdom of God, one of the first things that we need to understand is that the source of our power and transformation comes from the Holy Spirit. Now, last week, we tackled the subject of who he is. Someone say who he is. I'm glad you asked. We learned that the Holy Spirit is a person, a person. He's not an it. He's not a force. He's not even a power, but the Holy Spirit is a person. And it's important that you get this, because if you don't understand him as a person, you won't ever develop a relationship with him. The reason why we ignore the Holy Spirit in our life is because subconsciously we consider him an it or a force. We don't think of him as a person. Therefore, we don't try to engage a relationship with him. Can I get an amen, somebody? So we learned also that the Holy Spirit is the most important person on the earth today. That's what we learned last week. My goal last week was to up our view of the Holy Spirit, was to up our reverence of the Holy Spirit. Listen, as Christians, we need a high view of Scripture, but we also need a high view of the Holy Ghost. We need a high view of Scripture, but we also need a high view of the Holy Ghost. And he's the most important person on the earth today, because thirdly, what we believe, what we taught last week, the most important thing you need to understand is that the Holy Spirit is God. The Holy Spirit is God. We taught that we believe in what we call the Trinity or the Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Now, this is important to understand, because the Holy Spirit is not your little friend. The Holy Spirit is not your little buddy. The Holy Spirit is not your little partner. The Holy Spirit is God. All right? So we're upping our view and our reverence of the Holy Spirit in our life. Now, today, we're going to tackle the subject, what he does. Someone say what he does. We're going to understand part of the role of the Holy Spirit in our life. We need to understand part of the role of the Holy Spirit in our life. Now, we just read portions of Scripture out of John chapter 14, John chapter 15, and John chapter 16. Now, it's important to understand that John chapter 14, 15, and 16 center around the Last Supper of Jesus. It centers around the Last Supper of Jesus. Now, imagine with me that you spend 3 years walking with Jesus. You spend 3 years talking with Jesus. You spend 3 years doing life with Jesus. You see his miracles. You see how he fed the poor. You see how he healed the sick. He rose the dead. And now he tells you that he's leaving. He tells you that he got to go away, and this is exactly what he does to the disciples in John chapter 14, 15, and 16, and their heart is broken. Their heart is broken because, like everybody, we want to be with Jesus. We want to walk with Jesus. We want to be where Jesus is. But what we find here in John chapter 14, 15, and 16, that Jesus is preparing them for life without his physical presence. He's preparing them for life without his physical presence. And so, what does Jesus talk about? What is Jesus' last sermon to his disciples? I want to kind of submit to you today that the last subject that he talks about in John chapter 14, 15, and 16 is the role of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer. This is part of his last sermon that he wants us to get so that we learn how to live with life without his physical presence. Because as long as he's here with us physically, he cannot be everywhere at one time. This is one of the reasons why Jesus says it is to our advantage that he goes away so that the Holy Spirit may come into our life. And we learned last week that the Holy Spirit is omnipresent, meaning he's everywhere at the same time. Are you following along? Now, I want to share this morning, I want us to learn four truths as to the role of the Holy Spirit. And I encourage you, last Sunday I said, listen, bring your Bible, bring your notepad, bring your pencil. If you don't have a notepad on the bulletin, there's space where you can follow along. But I need you to get these truths because this was part of the last sermon of Jesus to his disciples. This was one of the last things that he teaches us. Number one, someone say number one. The Holy Spirit helps. Someone say helps. The role of the Holy Spirit is to help us. Now, four times in three chapters, Jesus refers to the Holy Spirit as the helper. I want to remind you, in John chapter 14, he says, I will pray the Father and he will give you another helper. Someone say helper. Then again, in verse 26, he says, but the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things. And then in John chapter 15, he refers to the Holy Spirit as the helper. And then lastly, in John chapter 16, verse 7, listen to what he says. He says, it is to your advantage that I go away. If I do not go away, the helper will not come. Now, that is a deep, deep statement for Jesus to make, that actually he's telling us that we are better off with the Holy Spirit than with him with us personally. That is a profound statement that is hard to wrap our mind around, but nevertheless, it is true. Jesus said with the Holy Spirit in our life that we live with an advantage because he is our helper. Now, the word helper is a deep, deep word in the original Greek, and I'm only going to give you a couple dimensions of its definition. But it literally means one called alongside to help. One called alongside to help. So the role of the Holy Spirit sent by the Father and Jesus was to come alongside of us to help us. Now, listen. What Jesus was to the early disciples, the Holy Spirit is to us. I want you to get that. What Jesus was to the early disciples, the Holy Spirit is to us. Listen, when Jesus said, I will give you another helper, that word another does not mean another of a different kind. It's a key word. It's a key word for us to understand. It actually means another of the same kind. When he says, I'm giving you another comforter, he doesn't mean another of a different kind. He means another of the same kind. In other words, the Holy Spirit is Jesus living inside of us. In other words, Jesus says, I'm going to come and live inside of the believer through the work of the Holy Spirit. So when we talk in Christian terms that Jesus is residing inside of us, Jesus lives inside of us, that's a true statement, but he does it in the presence of the Holy Spirit. He does it in the presence of the Holy Spirit. Now, this is a very important thing to understand as believers, that the Holy Spirit fulfills the present day ministry of Jesus Christ on the earth. This is one of the reasons why the Holy Spirit is so important, and he's the most valuable person in the world. He is the MVP in the world because the Holy Spirit fulfills the present day ministry of Jesus on the earth. Are you picking up what I'm putting down? Now, one of the important things that I want you to get in reference to the Holy Spirit being our helper is that the Holy Spirit is not just for preachers or worship leaders. I want you to get this afternoon or this morning. The Holy Spirit is not just for preachers or worship leaders. The Holy Spirit is for every believer. The Holy Spirit is not just for you to feel on Sunday. That's not just the role of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's role is to help us throughout life. His role is to help you be a mother. His role is to help you be a father. His role is to help you be a husband. Anybody need help being a husband? Come on, somebody. His role is to help you on Monday when you're at work and your boss is getting on you. Hello, somebody. He's here to help you when you're at school and you're frustrated. And you don't know what to do. The Holy Spirit is there in your life to help you stop ignoring the Holy Spirit. Now, there are many ways the Bible teaches that the Holy Spirit helps believers. There's over 50 ways. I want to shoot out a couple of them. And if you're taking notes, just follow along. The Holy Spirit helps us to pray in Romans 8:26. Anybody need help praying? Anybody help? Need help? Do you need help praying? Tell the truth, shame the devil. We all need help to pray because in the flesh, we don't want to pray. Romans 8:26 says the Holy Spirit helps us to pray. The Holy Spirit also helps us to live holy according to 1 Peter 1:2. 1 Peter 1:2. Anybody need help living holy? Oh, some more of you should have said yes right there, because I know some of y'all, you know what I mean? More of you should have said, yeah, I need help. We all need help to live holy. And the Holy Spirit's role is to help us live holy in life. The Holy Spirit's role is also to help us make decisions. According to Ephesians 1:7, the Bible calls the Spirit of wisdom. He helps us make decisions in life so that we don't mess up our marriage, so that we don't mess up our job, so that we don't mess up our education. The Holy Spirit is there to help us make decisions. And then, according to Galatians 5:16, the Holy Spirit helps us to win temptations. Anybody need help to win temptation? Anybody lost a temptation in the last week? Hello, somebody? Galatians 5:16 says the Holy Spirit will help us win temptations. And it's time that we start getting some W's underneath our belt. It's time we stop losing so much to the enemy. We have a great helper in the Holy Spirit. We have a great helper in the Holy Spirit. Now, specifically in John chapter 16, verse 8, Jesus teaches that the Holy Spirit helps with three things. One, he convicts of sin. He convicts of sin. The word convicts also means convinces. Convinces. So if you've ever been to jail, don't trip. He's not talking about that type of conviction, all right? It means to convince. So the Holy Spirit convinces us of our need of a Savior. He convinces us that we need a king, right? Listen. The good news is not the good news until you understand the bad news. And the bad news is, apart from Jesus, we are all infected with sin and condemned to die eternally in the lake of fire. But the good news is, Jesus took our place and he could become your Savior and your King and deliver you from the wrath to come. So the Holy Spirit convinces us of our need for a King. Another thing the Holy Spirit does, Jesus says, he convicts us of righteousness. convicts us of righteousness. So the Holy Spirit convinces us that we need to live right. That's what the Holy Spirit does. He convinces us that we need to live right. When you go to do wrong and you get that check in your spirit, that's the Holy Spirit telling you, you better check yourself before you wreck yourself. The Holy Spirit's role is to convince us to live right. And I want to remind you, my brothers and sisters, God wants us to live right. God wants us to talk right. Some of y'all need to stop cussing. Hello, somebody. And the Holy Spirit's been telling you about your mouth, your foul mouth. And you've been grieving the Holy Spirit because you keep on cussing. If you're a believer, if you're a citizen in the kingdom of God, there is a standard whereby we must strive after. There is a standard. Now, you may not always meet that standard, but you got to strive after that standard, lest you continue to grieve the Holy Spirit. And the Bible says, grieve not the Holy Ghost. God wants us to live right. He wants us to speak right. He wants us to act right. He wants us to think right. Some of y'all been thinking wrong stuff. The Holy Spirit is trying to convince you. Get your mind right. Get your mind right. How do you get your mind right? One of the ways you do it is through Bible study. It's through the washing of the water of the word in your mind. Every time you come to service, every time you come to Bible study, God is washing your mind. He's washing it through the word. He's washing it. The reason why you're being tormented by your mind is because you're not washing it enough. And the word comes into your mind and it washes, it cleanses, it purifies, it sanctifies. I like the third thing that Jesus says, that the Holy Spirit convicts us of judgment. Convicts of judgment, I should say. Now, the Holy Spirit convinces us that the devil has no more authority over our life. He's been judged. I love this about the Holy Spirit because, listen, the devil wants you to think that he still has power over you, but he doesn't. The devil wants you to think that that he still has authority over you, but he doesn't. Many of us were living like that elephant who was tied to the pole all his life. When they finally cut the rope, the elephant still stayed near to the pole because he thought he was still tied up. And the Holy Spirit comes into our life and he convinces of judgment. In other words, he reminds you every time the enemy comes along and tries to get you to feed into that temptation, feed into that alcohol, or sleep with that sister, or sleep with that brother, the Holy Ghost is going to be right there. Listen, the devil don't got power over you no more. Doesn't have power. He's our helper. He's our helper. Secondly, the Holy Spirit comforts. Someone say comforts. Now, again, the word helper is a deep, deep word in the original Greek language. It means lots of things. But one of the things it means is comforter. In fact, if you got the King James Version, it will actually say he will give you another comforter. Comforter. And I want to remind us this morning that the Holy Spirit is our divine comforter. It's our divine comforter. Some of us are seeking comfort from the wrong places. And we're getting messed up. We're seeking comfort from people, and we're ended up brokenhearted. People are not designed to be the source of your comfort. Some of us are seeking comfort through alcohol, and we're ended up with a life full of hangovers. Some of us are seeking comfort through drugs, and we're messing up our life. They even have what you call comfort food. Hello, somebody. I want to remind us this morning that true comfort comes from God. True comfort comes from God. And I want to remind you that the Holy Spirit's role in our life is to comfort us when we are frustrated, to comfort us when we are lonely, to comfort us when we are discouraged, to comfort us when we even may be tempted to be depressed. You don't have to turn to alcohol no more. You could turn to the Holy Spirit. You don't have to turn to that girl no more. You could turn to the Holy Spirit. You don't have to turn to that guy anymore. You could turn to the Holy Spirit. True comfort comes from God. And I love what 2 Corinthians 1:3 says. It says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and get this, the God of all. Someone say all. The God of all comfort, all comfort. That means whatever you're going through, God has a special dimension of grace just for you. In fact, I would suggest to you that God has a special dimension of grace and comfort for those that are hurting. That is just for you. And if you don't learn how to tap into it when you're hurting, you're missing out. Because we serve the God of all comfort. Thirdly, someone say number three, the Holy Spirit guides. The Holy Spirit guides. Jesus says in John chapter 16 that he will guide you into all truth. He will guide you into all truth. Now that word guide means to show the way. To show the way. I thank God that I don't have to be lost anymore. I thank God that I don't have to be lost anymore. I thank God that I don't have to be confused as to my direction in life anymore. I thank God that I don't have to be lost anymore. In fact, I love the Message Bible. It says on this verse, it says, he will take you by the hand and guide you into all truth there is. The Spirit will take you by the hand and guide you. Now, Jesus knew it would be hard to navigate through this dark world. There's so many decisions to be made every single day, and one decision can wreck our entire life. I want to remind you that we have a divine guide assigned to help us in life. And the Holy Spirit, he speaks to our hearts with inclinations and impressions. He guides us through inclinations and impressions. The Holy Spirit arouses our heart to a certain direction. If you're a believer, you have the Holy Spirit that is prompting your heart to go a certain way. Now listen, I want to share something with you that's going to shock you at first, but I want you to keep with me now. And this is one of the things I'm challenging the church throughout all the campuses, is that one of the things we need to do is we need to pray less, Spirit, fill me up, and we need to pray more, Spirit, how can I submit to your direction? Are you following along? We need to pray less, Spirit, Holy Spirit, fill me up, and we need to pray more, Holy Spirit, how can I submit more to your direction today? Holy Spirit, how can I submit my flesh more to your direction? How can I submit my marriage more to your direction? How can I submit my mind more to your direction? Are you following along? We need to submit more to the leading of the Holy Spirit, because if you're a believer and you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you have what it takes to get from point A to point Z, but you got to submit to the direction of the Holy Ghost. Are you following along? Now, I want to remind the church that oftentimes the Holy Spirit leads us like a compass, not a GPS. Oftentimes, the Holy Spirit leads us like a compass, not a GPS. When you think about a GPS, a GPS gives you step-by-step directions. Go 1.5 miles to the east, turn left 2.5 miles, then turn right half a mile, and you are at your destination. And sometimes you don't even end at your destination. A compass says, go that way. Go that way. That's the difference between a GPS and a compass. GPS gives you details and instructions. A compass says, go that way. Go that way. Oftentimes when the Holy Spirit leads you, he doesn't give you detailed instructions as to your journey, but he'll say, go that way. And you are called to take a step of faith, because your journey with God is all about faith. If you are able to understand everything about the direction, you will be leaning on your own understanding and thus do it in your own strength. And God doesn't want you to do that. God wants you to lean not on your own understanding, but trust in him in all your ways and acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. So he doesn't give you all the details up front, but he'll say, go that way. Go that way. And it's up to you to take a step, to take a step, to take a step. I've experienced this over and over in my walk with the Lord, But I want to remind you of one big time I experienced it. About 5 years ago, there was a sister in our church, one of the mothers in our church, Sister Cam. And she came up to me. She said, "Brian, I really feel impressed upon my heart that the deaf community needs to get the word of God that is coming from this pulpit." She has a son that is deaf. She's not deaf, but she felt in her heart that the deaf community needs to get the word that's coming out of this pulpit. So she came to me. She said, "Brian, is it okay that I interpret your 12:30 sermons so that the deaf people can get the word that's coming out of the pulpit from Chapel of Change?" And at first, I was like, "Well, we don't have no deaf people. What are we going to do? There's no deaf people." And so I did some research and I called some deaf leaders in the local community, and they told me, they said they were kind of discouraged. They were like, "You know what, Brian, we've been doing this for about 4 or 5 years and we only have one or two deaf people in our ministry. So, you know, this is what we do. And if you get one deaf person in a year, that would be a miracle." That's what they told me. But Miss Cam wouldn't leave it alone. She said, "Brian, I'm feeling it in my heart that we need to just translate it, interpret it. Can I do that?" Without knowing what's going to happen, without having all the details lined up. How many know we want God to give us details? We just did it. One day, Miss Cam came up on the side of me. No deaf people here. She just started interpreting the message at 12:30. Just interpreted. Next Sunday, she came. Interpreted. Next Sunday, she came. Nobody's even here. She's just interpreting it, right? She's just interpreting. We're doing what we feel the Holy Spirit's leading us to do. And would you know that today, we have over 30 people a part of our deaf ministry. We have over 30 people a part of our deaf ministry. I want to show you this picture. I want to show you this picture if we have it up there. Over 30 people a part of our deaf ministry. And a couple months ago, we did a conference for the deaf people in this community, and over 100 people came out to Chapel of Change. This is at our 12:30 service right here. Oftentimes, the Spirit of the Lord will lead you, and he'll say, "Go that way, go that way." He's not going to give you all the details because you got to step out in faith. Right? One last thing I want to remind you about the role of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit reminds. He reminds. Jesus says in John 14:26, he said, "The Holy Spirit will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance." Your remembrance, all things I said to you. Is there anybody in here who used to remember better than what you remember now? Hello, somebody? They say as you get older, your memory gets slower. I wonder what was the most kind of embarrassing thing you ever forgot. You probably forgot. One of the most embarrassing things I forgot happened about a year ago when my wife and I had our 20-year wedding vow renewal right here in the church. How many know when you get married or you have renewals, there's lots of things you got to remember? Big old list you got to do. And I remembered everything except to comb my son's hair. I remember everything. And so every time now I see the pictures of my wedding vow renewal, I see my son, he's smiling. He don't know what's going on, but his hair is messed up. But I remember my hair. I got my hair cut, but I forgot his. Oftentimes, spiritually, we forget what God has taught us. Oftentimes, we forget what God has done. So I want to give you a principle on spiritual growth this morning. Listen. Oftentimes, spiritual growth is less about learning something new and more about remembering what you already learned. Write that down. This is a principle. Spiritual growth is less about learning something new and more about remembering what you already learned. I bet you there's some people that came to church today expecting to learn something new, but they haven't even done something with what they already learned.
Are you following along?
If you don't do something with what you learn, you will soon forget it. If you don't apply or exercise what you learn on Sundays, you will soon forget it. Listen, Jesus warns us. He says, as soon as the seed of the word is planted in our heart, the enemy comes and tries to steal the message of the kingdom from our heart. And one of the ways he does is that is by causing us to forget what God has done and said in our life. Therefore, Jesus sends the Holy Spirit to be our divine reminder of what we already know. Are you following along? God warns us many times in the scriptures about being forgetful. Listen to this in Deuteronomy 6:12. He says, beware, lest you forget the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Beware, lest you forget the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Wow, how can we forget the Lord after all he's done in our life? He's warning us. He says we're susceptible to forgetting, and he says, beware. Man, how can we forget what God has done in our life? You would be surprised. You would be surprised at how many times we forget the Lord throughout the week. You'll be surprised. We forget the Lord when someone offends us and we don't forgive them. We forget. Did you know you forgot the Lord in that moment? You forgot how God forgave you of your wretched self. We forget the Lord many times throughout the moments of the week. We forget the Lord when he blesses us with a job and we use that same job as an excuse not to serve him. We forget the Lord. We forget the Lord and we need to repent. We forget the Lord when we choose to live in sin instead of holiness. We forget the promise that we made to God when we were in our sin. And we said, Lord, if you just save me, if you deliver me, I'll follow you after all the days of our life. And then we choose to live in sin. We forget the Lord. And so, my brothers and sisters, I want to encourage us today that we got to repent from our forgetfulness, and we gotta stop allowing the enemy to cause us to forget who we are and what God has taught us. I want to remind you, in Psalms 103, says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not." Forget not all his benefits, who forgives all our iniquities, who heals all our diseases. One of the ways that we become forgetful people is when we begin to rehearse the burden instead of rejoicing the blessing. This is one of the ways that the enemy tricks us into being forgetful people, when we begin to rehearse the burdens in our life instead of rejoice over the blessings. Are you following along? When we give too much attention to the burdens in our life, it helps us to forget God's blessings. Not too long ago, I was ministering to a lady in this altar, and she was weeping, and she was burdened, and she was crying. And I asked her, what are you burdened about? What are you crying about? And she shared openly how people have been calling her names and people have been saying things about her, and it's crushing her and it's weighing down upon her. And when I looked and I heard what she said, the problem to me was that she had been a Christian already for 10 years and she already been a leader for 5 years. So when she shares to me her struggle, it's an indication that she's forgetting what God said about her, and she's giving too much weight to what the world says. Are you following along? Whenever you give too much attention to your burden, you forget your blessing. Are you following along? And so she came to the altar for a new word from God, but I had to let her know, I don't have a new word for you. What needs to be done in your life is you need to be reminded of what God already said in your life. Because somehow the enemy came and robbed you of the message of the kingdom that was sowed into your heart.
Hear me, my brothers and sisters. Whenever we forget who we are in Christ, you will begin to act out like someone you're not. Whenever you forget who you are in Christ, you will begin to act out like someone you're not. That's why it's so important. Never forget who you are in Christ. Don't allow the enemy to rob you of your spiritual memory, and stop looking in the earthly mirror and start looking in the spiritual mirror, which is the Word of God, so that the Lord can remind you of who you are and what He's done in your life. So I declare that some of you have come today looking for something new, and God is saying, I ain't got nothing new for you. I want to remind you of what I already said and declared in your life and what I've already did. I saved you. I healed you. I called you into my family. I anointed you. I've given you my spirit. You are more than a conqueror. Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. There should be no reason why you should be busted and disgusted because of who you are in Christ Jesus. Be reminded, family, of who you are. Never forget. This is why the Holy Spirit is amongst us. Not necessarily to give you something new, but to remind you of what's already been said and done in your life. Let's bow our heads. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I want us to reflect a little bit about the word this morning. What did the Holy Spirit tell you? What are you going to do with it? What did the Holy Spirit tell you, and what are you going to do with it? While every head bowed and every eye closed, while everybody remains seated, let's just reflect upon the Word of God.